Again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin Walter, the host. True Wealth, sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus, 444-0044 locally, outside toll-free, 877-TAP-COIN. Coins Plus is a full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We provide that's why we're called full service. We provide everything from the highest-rated privately held depository service in the West Coast region to investment guidance to extremely, I would say, very profound experience and knowledge in our industry and in the financial realm. I know people, you know, look over and they say, look at my friends over there in the Dow Jones stock market. And folks, little do you know, that thing's all over the place. People are not making... It's a lot harder than it looks. We'll put it that way. And that sucker's gone up so much, so fast, I truly do fear what's coming. It's just, it's the law of nature. It's the way God made things. What goes up must come down. Metals have done it. The stock market's doing it. The thing about metals is over the long haul, they hold their own. They've been there forever. I mean, not really forever, but since God put us here. And he, you know, right out of the box, you got Genesis 1, he gets all, you know, he does all his business. He creates the world, he creates Adam and Eve, he creates everything. And then in Genesis 2, he's talking about gold in the land of Havilah. He starts an economic system. Gold leads to silver, silver leads to coinage. And from there on, it has been true wealth, money, ordained, authorized by God, and it still is. Just because man deviates his views and his vision or his relationship with God doesn't change the truth. Man, I'll tell you today, I got a lot on my mind. First of all, I mean, I've got so much on my mind. I'll try to make notes here with my broken pen. So guess what? I'm not making notes right now. I've got so much on my mind. What... I don't even know where to start. What in the blank is wrong with America? Okay. So we've got school shootings, right? We've got, I mean, the left wing outrage, I don't even know where to begin. Folks, we live in an era. We've got this gun control debate. We live in an era of sensationalism, intentional agitation, a lack of class, a lack of dignity, the vilification and division of others, a spirit of divisiveness. I don't think anybody disagrees. Now, I'm going to tell you, here's how people think. There are times to rejoice. There's times to celebrate. There's times to mourn. There's times to change. And then we've got stuff going on in this country. What other country? I mean, okay, think of this. We have been cursed by the scourge of Islam. We have been maimed by the scourge of terrorism. We become the target of terror of Islam, the religion of the devil. What is happening to us now? We are becoming our enemy. We are beginning to consume ourselves. You watch the news. The 24/7 news cycle requires constant agitation. I lose it whenever the way they phrase everything on the news ticks me off. You know, example, Trump writes a tweet this weekend about the FBI blowing it on this kid who shot and killed 17 children in an elementary school. Okay, that he's a coward, wimp, pathetic. I wouldn't even use the word man or boy. I don't know what he is. You know, and now his attorney says, oh, he's a broken human being. He feels so bad and so sorry. Folks, you know, there's a system for dealing with that stuff. You take care of business. the old way. I mean, you give them a trial. If they're guilty, you take them out of town and you string them up. I sound a little radical to you? Oh, sure. And then, you know, there's plenty of us that are against the capital punishment. And I'll tell you what, the way it's executed in America, I'm completely against it because there's no such thing as capital punishment in America. The only people that get finally executed are after 17 years and 11 appeals and you know, and it no longer becomes about a deterrent for the crime. This country is falling apart. I'll warn you today. This show, I will say, is probably a tad negative. I'm kind of getting fed up with it. I mean, kind of. Folks, what is going on? I love America. I love the red, white, and blue. I love the founding fathers. I love my God. I love what this country stands for. I love what this country was designed to provide. I love the fact that it's built on Judeo-Christian ethics, but don't say Judeo-Christian because then you get letters from people who send you anti-Semitic stuff and tell you, I won't even get into it. It's so crazy, some of the stuff I get. Oh my gosh, people, get over it. When you find your brand of religion, when you find your brand of Christianity, your sect, your denomination, when you find that by its very nature, it creates opposition or divisiveness with other people who think they're believers, you better think again. Okay? I'm seeing this more and more. Like I said, anti-Semitic, racist, overkill Calvinist, other sects I won't get into because I'll offend people. When your personal brand of Christianity segregates you and tells you that you are the ones, you're the chosen, and you figured it out, and somebody somewhere along the way after Christ figured out some great mystery that wasn't revealed before because of some odd interpretation of Scripture, right? Think again, folks. God, His body of Christ is about unity. Heaven isn't going to be filled only with your specific denomination. God isn't most pleased with your specific denomination. God cares about the hearts of man. When I don't care if you're a Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, I mean, I was going to say Catholic. I do know some Catholics that are believers, but I think against their own best judgment, they won't leave usually because they don't want to offend family or something like that. And even, you know, you think of Martin Luther. I mean, the whole point of him was to break away from the craziness of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church under Constantine, who started it, I don't want to go Catholic bashing, but I mean, he adopted paganism and all these other traditions and rituals, etc. So that's not the point of my show today. But we've got so much division and divisiveness in this country. And I'm just saying, before I move forward, if your denomination or whatever it is thinks that you have some secret understanding or some superior knowledge or some superior access to the Holy Spirit or God because of an act that you do or do not do, give it up. That is not in the least what Jesus Christ said. You can take Scripture out of context. And, you know, I used to have a friend who used to say one Scripture he'd always quote is that there has to be two or more witnesses. You have to have Scripture to confirm Scripture. Okay? The only exception, kinda, is if it's translated completely properly, is if the words of Christ, because he's God, but his words usually confirm what the rest of the Bible says anyway. I can't think of many situations where there's not that. That's not the case. So we've got this kid in Florida. He goes and blows away a bunch of kids at school, and he's a poor little thing. He's just a broken spirit. And like I said, we had a system. God created a system. People criticize it. They bash it. Obama stood up and mocked Bible verses from the Old Testament. Are we supposed to reinstate this? Are we supposed to reinstate that? A lot of the scripture in the Old Testament, folks, Leviticus and whatnot, was designed for the Jews, for God's chosen people, to make them or to set them apart. Yeah, they might have had some laws that are a bit extreme, but look at, I don't see Obama mocking Sharia law, where you chop off hands. And I mean, do you know that Iran has a, quote, day of cleansing, where they literally execute hundreds of people? And it is terrible. It's just nothing but execution after execution after execution. It's pretty bad. There's pictures of it. Political prisoner cleansing. They say it's cleansing the land. I mean, they have literally masses of hangings and beatings and stonings, and all this stuff happens at once. Is that good? We don't bash on that. Oh, no. That wouldn't be politically correct. But you can trash talk. You can be Joy Behar, and you can trash talk. You can mock Mike Pence, who she claims says Jesus talks to him, although they go back later and show another episode of Joy Behar in the past. Joy Behar is one of the hosts on The View, which is a left-wing bunch of trash on TV, which I don't watch. They go back and have her on another episode saying that she feels that God's telling her this or that. Well, the fruits of her life would tell me that she doesn't know the same God that I do. But then she mocks somebody else, judge not, lest she be judged, and et cetera. You know, we've gotten to this point where we have no respect for God, no respect for his word, the Bible, no respect for truth and justice. We have more respect for transgender than we do for Christ and Christians. We have more respect for homosexuality and homosexuals than we do for Christ. And for Christians, folks, we're there. We're all the way there. You know, and the thing that was going through my mind when I was driving to work today, what is wrong with America? What is wrong with America? And the whole thing is because of the situation with my business and everything, I don't have time to write transcripts. And people are very complimentary about the show, and I so appreciate that. But I never have a transcript. I wing it. And so I get all these ideas, and I get on the air. That's why I kind of meander, if that was the right word. It's more like bounce around like a pinball. But that's what I mean when I say I got so much on my mind. We have Obama, like I said, mocking, absolutely mocking the Bible and Christians. Created a level of division. Now, folks, now we've got all this evidence around us that Obama and Hillary were completely corrupt. The whole Department of Justice was corrupt. The FBI was corrupt. They were all trying to throw the election against Trump. They were spying on him, literally abusing the Fourth Amendment for illegal search and seizure. Abusing the Fourth Amendment in the name of terrorism. I mean, folks, this is what we've done. We always have to have a scare tactic. And then we can get people to outrageously demand government control. You get a school shooting, what do we get? Mostly the youth. What do the youth want? More government control. We need more government control. We need the government. The government's got to fix it. The government's got to do it for us. No, folks, everything is flipped on its head. You know, everything is backwards from God. You know, what's right to God is wrong to man. And what's right to man is wrong to God. You know, it's just, it's, you know, God's good is man's evil. And I remember reading those scriptures years ago and being like, yeah, that's true. Folks, I've kind of lived in a golden age, I believe. I was a 70s child driving around on my bike in Eugene, Oregon, going to an experimental school system where they tried all this liberal indoctrination, sexual education from the age of fourth grade, drug education from fourth and fifth grade, and the drug education program made you want to go use drugs. I'm going to be completely honest with you. And the sex education did the same thing. It wasn't designed to educate and protect. It was designed to recruit. I have a friend who has a son who literally is in fifth grade and who literally got suspended from school because he sent a friend a picture of his dad's gun. And no threats. Best friends, no one claims there's threats. The picture got around. Some girl got it. They literally suspended him. The dad has his head on straight, went to war with the school. Too late, damage is done. No one knows. It's just politically correct garbage. A picture of a gun. They suspended him for sending a picture of a gun. And I assure you, there's no more to the story than that. No malice, no nothing. This is how whacked out we've become. People don't know what in the H they're even believe anymore. They don't know what the Constitution is. You got the media, propaganda. I remember growing up, going to school in the 80s, learning how bad communism was and learning about propaganda. And now we've got this goofy indictment that comes out from Robert Mueller's office in Rosenstein against 13 or 18 Russians who were, you know, instigating propaganda through social media for Trump and against Trump and trying to affect our elections and creating rallies and all this stuff. I mean, so what? They spent $1.25 million. Hillary spent $2.4 billion. Do the math. Whoopity ding. There's so much fake news and false garbage out there. The problem is, the reason that they're indicting in this case is because they have to have they've got to come up with something to justify this ridiculous, never-ending special counsel. Pretty obvious Trump's innocent. I think God is so in control of the situation, folks, but I still think he wants us to be outraged. He wants us to love him. He wants us to embrace truth, but he's so in control of Trump. I mean, folks, you talk about what an amazing situation. Despite every odd in the world that Hillary Clinton should have gotten office in all the force and the pressure of every major branch of our government, including the President of the United States, was against a man who had never ran in politics before, and he spent less than a tenth of what Hillary spent, and lo and behold, he won, and they couldn't believe it. There had to be something to it. And then the deeper they dig, the more rubbish comes out about the Hillary campaign and Obama and their corruption, but nothing. There will never be an indictment. There will never be anything because they are truly above the law. There are men who've done time in prison. There was a guy who took three pictures of the inside of his submarine and deleted them because he knew it was wrong. Then he admitted it, and he apologized. They hung him out. He did a year in prison. His life's been ruined. How about the guy who had top security clearance? He had some software on his computer. He forgot about. He got a new computer. When he was transferring data over, it showed up. And he went, oops, and he contacted the Navy and he said, I blew it. I still have this software on my computer. I left the base with it or whatever. I know I shouldn't have. Instead of going, thanks for being honest. We'll have someone clean that out. turn your laptop in. Nope. They convict him, put him in jail. And then Hillary Clinton deletes 33,000 emails. And then we find out all this corruption and collusion with the FBI and false FISA court warrants that Obama got because he appointed 11 out of 12 FISA court judges or something like that. And, you know, here I am ranting and raving. Those are all symptoms, folks. What's wrong with America? We are being overrun by evil. I've got all these things on my mind. We're falling from grace. We are becoming our enemy. We are rejecting God. You think of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, in Genesis 19, two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. And he said, now behold, my lords, please turn aside. And he goes on, right? So they entered his house, it says. They said, we want to spend the night in the square. He said, he urged them strongly. So they turned aside to him and enters his house, and he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread. They ate. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, where do you think we got the term sodomy? Surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may have relations with them. What a very kind phraseology in that translation, huh? The word in Hebrew is yada, and it is a little stronger than having relations. We'll put it that way. These men were homosexual. The city had been overrun with sexual deviancy. They were so bad that they got a mob mentality. Look what's going on in America. God forbid you'd have a conservative speaker or a God-fearing man come into a liberal university. They have literally mobs break out and riots and violence and crazed maniacs. The problem is we're in the information age. Social media is feeding this stuff. Video games. Yes, video games. All the electronics. I grew up, like I said, in a golden era in the 70s. I ride my bike all day. I went and did stuff, and I learned how to do things. I didn't have TV really to watch, and if I did, there was nothing good on anyway. You know, you could read a little bit. We had no electronics, and we just had to use our brains, and the times were different. All of this stuff is turning against us. We're turning on ourselves. We're consuming ourselves. Is America done? I don't know. It says, where are the men? We bring them out so we can have relations. I mean, is this terrible? The whole city surrounds because he got two men in his house. Oh, fresh blood, fresh meat. But Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind them and said, please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Now, behold, this is what just baffles me. Now, behold, this is what Lot says. I have two daughters who have not had relations with man. Please let me bring them out to you and do to them whatever you like. Only do nothing to these men, inasmuch as they have come under the shelter of my roof. When Abraham was saying, oh, you know, Lord, there's got to be one righteous or 50 righteous or 20 and on down the list. You talk about sick. Lot was sick. He was willing to turn his virgin daughters over to a violent, sexually deviant, sex-crazed mob. He was willing to let his daughters be raped by a violent mob of homosexual deviants. That just sickens me. People miss that when they read that. Who would do that? Oh, don't do anything to these men, as they've come under the roof of my house. But they said, stand aside. Furthermore, they said, this one came in as an alien, and already he's acting like a judge. Now, we will treat you worse than them. So they pressed hard against Lot and came near to break the door. So basically they said, they knew, they admit that they knew they're doing evil. He said, we will treat you worse than them. So they want to rape these men. They want to rape something. And they said to Lot, we'll rape you worse than we'll break. You talk about a city of sickness, folks. You think that's different than what we're becoming? This all-consuming hatred and divisiveness? This racial trash? I was reading online today, and I tripped over some stuff on Tumblr, which I still don't quite understand what it is. It's like a chat board for Yahoo or something. And somehow I end up on this guy's, like, feeds, you know, and I'm looking at these pictures, and he's black, right? And it's just this vitriolic hatred of whites. And then there's these other whites, you know, blogging back, and yeah, you know, the whites have been unjust to the blacks, and I know I have a relative who has yoked, not married, luckily, to a, you know, I guess, I don't know what you'd call him, he's a Black Lives Matter guy or whatever. He's angry. They're livid. They're ticked. That's no way to live life. That is not what God wants. What do they want? Retribution? Death? You know, you get these radical left-wing socialists. You go through history, folks. I don't care if it's, you know, Mussolini or Stalin or Hitler or whatever. You get these tyrants, these crazed maniacs. Look at Cambodia. Socialism, government. When the government replaces God, terrible things happen. You know how people are always like, I can't believe in a God who would allow this to happen. How can God allow that evil to happen to them? How can God allow that terrible storm to kill all those people? How can God allow these people to starve in Haiti? It's just not right. You know, God shouldn't do this. I just don't understand how God could dare let me lose my daughter when she's 13. I can't believe God this and that. Well, what they're, folks, you know what they're saying, we're saying, you're saying, whatever, when you're saying that, is you're saying, I want God to, on one hand, never allow anything evil to happen, except those people that I don't like. Ooh, I want justice. Well, if each and every man on earth sees it that way, each and every man on earth draws a circle around the people they want to keep safe and another circle around the people they want to execute justice upon. And all those circles of influence, they would overlap, they'd cross over. That's where you end up with tyranny and anarchy. Actually, not tyranny, anarchy and destructiveness. And isn't it ironic that those people that are the most angry and vile of tongue are the ones that claim to be the most tolerant and enlightened? And they literally will spew that they know the truth, and they were, and because of it, they are willing to shut the mouths of those that disagree with them at any cost. I mean, I've seen this more and more from the left. And just the arrogance and, you know, all these spirits that are not of God. And what, and people say, what's it matter? I'm not a Christian. You're created by God in God's image. And as a quick side note, you know, when people are like, well, I don't believe in God. I believe in evolution. Folks, you just spend time. And I just can't even understand. It's like, really? Have you ever studied water? The only substance that gets lighter when it freezes, so it floats and the whole earth doesn't freeze. The substance that carries oxygen, so it can actually transfer oxygen into your body in a liquid form, you know, or the fact that we live right at the bandwidth of temperature where liquid water, or where water can go from solid to liquid to vapor and back. You know, and we have the perfect atmosphere to hold it down, and 80% of the earth's covered by water, so it cleans everything up, and everything in the earth is made of about, you know, all the organisms are made of about 96% water, and you go on and on just about water. Or how about the fact that the moon and the earth are so proportionally accurate that when there's an eclipse, the shadow of the sun or of the earth is exactly the size of the moon. So that there's never a time the moon's ever really gone for long. If the moon was tiny, you know, there'd be times that we'd have all these crazy eclipses people wouldn't understand, at least back before they got more scientific, and vice versa. The way things line up, the gravity, the exact right amount of gravity for tides combined with water again, that has the perfect amount of surface tension or turgor to allow it to flow, but yet to not leave its bounds, as the Bible says, too crazily like acetone would. But yet it's not too thick like a gel, so it doesn't cohese and clog, and it basically can't, you know, it can freeze, but it'll never clog up water in and of itself. Because of the oxygen molecule in it, it oxidizes, it cleans everything in the earth up. That's just one minor thing. Look at the molecular structure and on and on and on. I look around at the magnificence of the earth, and I'll tell you, folks, again, like I said earlier in the show, okay, you got this thing where people are like, my sect, my denomination, you know, whatever it may be, is the right one. Because so-and-so said 180 years ago or 200 years ago or whatever that this is the way you read the Bible and this is it, and we got a new book and we got this and we got that and we got it made because we do these specific things and we're different and better than everybody. And it don't work like that. You know, when you look at the point of the Bible. Again, I guess I'll back up. The point that I was getting at a minute ago, the divisiveness. Divisiveness is, well, legalism, okay? Superiority complex basically creates legalism, creates divisiveness, creates more legalism. And guess what happens? They start to take away joy, and they steal liberty, and they steal freedom. People who believe in evolution, look around you. Look at the magnificence of the earth. Folks, if you're a believer, look at the magnificence of the earth. Are we literally supposed to deny ourselves all the enjoyment of it? No. We're supposed to deny ourselves being caught up in it and loving it more than our God. You can only properly enjoy this earth with a saving knowledge of Christ, period. But once you've got that saving knowledge, that's how you enjoy life. You can do everything in moderation, basically. And people have all kinds of legalistic reasoning behind everything. I have seen people over words lose it as Christians and judge and cut off and over a Christian family that has a drink of wine or a father that drinks wine or something. And I've seen families literally. To never go near them again, kids. They have alcohol in their house, and they're not Christians. And I mean, I'm not taking a stance for or against it. I can tell you both sides of it. I know the goods and the evils and, you know, what can happen and all that. That's not my point. My point is, if people really know Jesus Christ, isn't it between them and the Holy Spirit? Now, granted, we've got scripture that says if your brother's fallen into sin, you got to approach him first, and then you bring someone else, and then you bring the whole church. But that scripture, which does apply to how to confront sin, yes, but it also comes right after Jesus talks about woe to the man who the stumbling block comes to these children. And I don't know why it's there at that time and why that is what brought it up. But that's another topic I've discussed. I won't discuss it today. Sodom and Gomorrah is an example of what's happening in America, because what's happening is we're all being permeated. We're all being polluted by this, all this junk, all this garbage, all this trash. Our kids, folks, you think just a few short years ago, 9/11, right? We were doing a little better before that, weren't we? Freedom. I mean, I'm going to be candid. I carry a knife. I've got a couple black belts. I've had 40 hours of knife training. And I'm hope to God I never have to use it. I know from my training that no one ever really wins a knife fight, and I won't get into all that. It's not a pretty picture, but I carry a knife. I carry a tactical folding knife in my pocket. Before 9/11, I carried that on the plane. They had a 4-inch blade requirement. It had to be under 4 inches. I had a knife. A friend of mine and I both carried knives that probably had about a 5-inch blade. We'd lay it on the little bar, and the guy'd go, "That's too long." And we'd argue with him, "Oh, come on, it's not that bad." And he'd go, "Okay, guys, go on the plane." Well, we didn't have any problems then. And then we get lied to. And we get told that a bunch of terrorists held up planes with box cutters. Well, they needed to tell us that so that they could make up, take away your 1-inch long nail clippers, because you might actually clip somebody's nails to death or something. I mean, we've just gotten to the point. I was going through the airport. I just went to Cabo for a week with my mom. And I'm telling you, man, going through the airport and looking at what we've given up there. You know, now the TSA is taking people's phones. Customs especially, they take people's phones and they are going ransacking your phone. They are downloading your information south. Folks, we all had these crazy crashes in our iPhones as we were coming back into the States. My wife's went down for 2 days. My mom's went down for 2 days. And mine went down for 2 days. All in very similar fashions. And then they all came back up. I'm not exaggerating. They are able now in these airports through the NSA, the TSA, they are downloading. They are looking at every single thing on your iPhones as you go through all this stuff. Throw the Fourth Amendment out. Obama fed that like a rabid dog. He said, "I will fundamentally transform America." What does a Muslim mean when he says that? Taqiyya. They're commanded to lie for the furtherance of Islam. What he is saying is, I'm going to start a process that you can't stop. Our original military in this country was started by Jefferson because the Barbary pirates were destroying our people at sea. They had just captured 750 Americans from 3 ships. They were raping them, maiming them, killing them, and taking a whole bunch for slaves. Jefferson, who was the ambassador of France, and Adams, some ambassador of England, I think, went to Tripoli, to the Pasha of Tripoli, to say, "Dude, what are you doing?" Now, by the way, at this time, our cowardly, wimpy, left-wing Congress, which it was being taken over by then too, always the same thing. They love to vote for liars. They were paying 20% of the congressional budget in bribes to the Barbary pirates to quit picking on us because we hadn't developed a military. Thomas Jefferson met with the Pasha of Tripoli. The Pasha said, "You're scum. You're an infidel. Here's a Quran. I worship Allah. You worship an inferior God. We can do whatever we want to you, and we will." Jefferson was so mad, he came back to the United States. He went to Congress. He had said, "Stop paying these bribes. We've got to stand up and fight." And all these cowardly left-wing politicians, "Oh, all this terrible stuff will happen, and we're going to just make them mad." Isn't that what they always say? "Oh, Trump is a great recruiting tool for Muslims." I mean, really? They've been saying this stuff forever. So Jefferson gets so mad, he runs for president and wins. And his first act is to create, I think it was the USS Constitution, boat, ship, battleship, and create the U.S. Marine Corps to go back out after the Barbary pirates, the Muslims. This is why Marines to this day are called leathernecks. And they don't even know why. Because they wore quadruple thick hardened leather collars that went up above their ears. Because whenever they boarded these ships, these Muslims carried machetes and tried to chop their heads off. That's why the Marine song says, "To the shores of Tripoli." Because as soon as Jefferson got the military built and he was able to get Congress to stop paying these cowardly bribes, he went out, and folks, not a lot of places document what he did or what we did as a military. We took care of business. We did to them a lot of what they've been doing to us. And we hacked them up, and we did our business. We left a message. We left witnesses alive. They understood Islam. They even dumped pig's blood on their dead bodies and threw them in the ocean in front of these witnesses. And they sent these witnesses back to the Pasha of Tripoli. And they said, you tell him, if you touch one of our people again on this ocean, we will come to the shores of Tripoli. That is how that phrase got in that song. Thomas Jefferson's journals said he lists his greatest fears for this nation. One of them was the two-party system. He said it will destroy us because of exactly what we're seeing. People will lie, cheat, and steal to get their leader in office, and it will divide the nation. Next, I don't remember what's next, but then third, he said his greatest fear is that a future president who was ignorant in history would allow Muslims to pour into this nation and basically ruin it from within. They have all this, folks. They have a fatwa where they overtake with population, folks. This is, look at what's happening to us. We're consuming ourselves. We're fighting over immigration, illegal immigrants, and you've got these left-wing kooks. And I know, folks, I'm letting it out today, so I apologize if this is too negative for a Christian show. I'm just, you know, here I am. Take it or leave it. I think you know I'm kind of candid that way. We got these left-wing kooks that every single time you say illegal immigration, they lie. I mean, don't you get sick of the lying spins where they say, well, this country was built by immigrants? It's like, dude, I didn't say immigrants. I said illegal immigrants. Well, you know, at first, the Irish were discriminated against. And it's like, no, they immigrated legally. I'm talking about illegals. They're breaking the law to get here. Why are they coming? Because we give them flipping welfare. Trump came out and he said, I will basically legalize as many immigrants as you want, illegals, as part of my plan, as long as they cannot vote for 20 or 25 years. Oh, no, the left wouldn't tolerate that. Mm-mm. Why? That's why they want them here, folks. They're already illegally voting. Everything Trump says is like prophetic, okay? It's a weird thing. God has his hand on Trump. I know that Trump looks so unlike anything we would expect, but the dude's clean. They've tried everything. They can't find dirt on him. He's clean. God knows his heart. And guess what's happened? He came in, I'd say, ignorant about God, and now he's got Pence, an incredibly godly vice president. He's doing Bible studies. He's talking about God in his speeches. He loves God. He's become a believer through being chosen and elected by God. God knew his name from the time he was in his mother's womb. Trump. Trump means final overriding factor or resource. Trump means the last call before my wrath comes. The world's an amazing place. God writes a great novel. You think of all the intertwining of lives and activities. He's big, 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 big. But anyway, so you get the point. Sodom and Gomorrah, folks, the problem is we're all being tainted by this stuff. All of us. That's what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. It was so bad. Okay? Now, 2 Timothy 3, of course I'm running out of time, as always. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, he says. For men will be lovers of self, in other words, narcissists, lovers of money. Do they not worship money? Cribs. You know, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I am a major capitalist. I'm super driven. I've accumulated wealth over the years. I was blessed enough to start out in banking and learn some stuff about money early on. I've done some things right. I've done some things really dumb too. Don't get me wrong. But I've been blessed by God. I would call myself a little bit wealthy. I feel like I am. I've been really blessed financially over the years. But I don't love my money. I mean, we all need it. It's a tool God gave us. It is so permanently ingrained in every aspect of our life on this earth that we cannot deny it, okay? Don't think that you're godly because you don't pay your bills and you have crappy credit and you think that you're on a higher spiritual plane to not let it bother you. No, you are destroying your integrity. That's a lack of character. If you signed a debt and you owe it, you owe it. Now, if you've got some huge medical expense that you can't pay and they're trying to collect it, you know, if it's payable and you can make payments, do it over time. There's ways to deal with things like that. I mean, if disaster hits, disaster hits. I spent years in banking, and everybody who filed bankruptcy always wanted to tell me how it was, you know, this act of God that hit them. And it wasn't an act of God. It was an act of their love of credit, their love of money, their love of new clothes and everything. And I'm not saying, that's what I said earlier. I really believe God wants us to enjoy the planet that he put us on. This is, God didn't go to this incredible extent. I mean, the most phenomenal, it's got to be the most phenomenal planet in the universe. I mean, you look at all the properties and all the resources and the life that's, you know, unbelievable. You've got everything from volcanoes to, you know, icebergs and unbelievable insects that you could stare at for hours, all the way to sea life and massive whales with a heart that's 8 feet wide. You could literally use a whale's heart for a jacuzzi. You could swim on the gray whale. You can swim through their arteries if they're so big. That's God showing off. When I was in Cabo, I saw some big grays, I think that's what they were, playing with their calves. Beautiful. Just jumping out of the water and throwing their calves up in the air and just spraying and jumping, having a ball. Mammals have knowledge. They have a self-awareness. And I do believe that some sea mammals are incredibly intelligent. I really do. I think that's a whole nother conversation I've had, but I really do. And I really believe in earth preservation. I believe that we should be ecologically sensitive as heck. I think we've got to quit blaming ourselves, though, and start going and finding the real problem. We've got areas of the ocean that are hundreds of square miles of trash. Most of that's not coming from us. But no, we got to sit and self-abase. Why? Why do we abuse ourselves? Oh, so we can get votes, because we've got to control the people. Then it goes on in 2 Timothy. Boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. The unholy part, boy, I don't have to convince you of that. I know. I'm ramping it up today. How about unloving? Love is what? Patient and kind. It's not jealous or boastful, right? I mean, it's this nation is becoming incredibly unloving. We are becoming our enemy. You know, Paul goes on and he goes, if I speak in tongues of man and I do all these things of angels and I have the gift of prophecy and I know everything and I give all my possessions and feed the poor and I do all these things, but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Then he says what love is: patient. Love is kind. Think of these things, folks. Ask yourselves. Learn. Memorize this. Memorize this. And whenever you're in a situation, you memorize the fruits of the Spirit. And you memorize this, and what I did was I took the fruits of the Spirit, where it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, you know, et cetera, self-control. And then I memorized a scripture that applies to each of the fruits of the Spirit. So you can literally sit there in your mind when you're in a situation where you want to lose it or you want to do something. You let God's word cleanse your mind. Am I being loving? Am I being joyful? Am I being peaceful? Am I being kind, gentle, faithful, etc.? But like I said, 2 Timothy 3, he says in the end times, men will be unloving. Okay? So you go to the opposite of love. Love is patient. That means people become impatient. Love is kind. He's saying they're going to be very unkind. Are people not becoming unkind? I mean, you should see the stuff that happens with kids. Oh, my gosh. I have a friend. I mean, these kids are bullies. You know, we're supposed to be teaching our kids not to be bullies, and we have all this TV garbage and about bullying. It's worse than it's ever been. Kids go on Twitter or whatever it is or Snapchat, and they list girls from school, and they list boys are listing girls that they want to, I think it's, I don't remember. It's Mary, Kiss, Marry, and Kill. And they literally are listing out girls that are ugly, and they say, she's ugly, she's a dog, and they're, you know, this is cyberbullying. Folks, bad times, okay? Through it all, I can do a show, and I can talk about all the wondrous, amazing things that God does, yes. But folks, there's good out there. God's amazing. He never changes. I get it. And the thing, when I read about love and I read what he's done for us, he's magnificent. It's a blessing. But it says in Timothy they're going to be ungrateful, and I don't want to sound ungrateful. I'm just telling you today, what's wrong with America? We've lost our everything, folks. I mean, you've got obesity, addiction to entertainment technology and celebrity gossip. Folks, obesity matters. Sexual deviancy, sexual promiscuity, incredible levels of pornography and deviance and dysfunction. And people learn, they don't even know what's right. Young boys, they find this stuff on the internet, and they learn to see women as sexual objects, and apparently it's starting to affect girls, and it's just, they don't even understand the dynamics of it. And it's the same as these video games. You go around and shoot and kill everybody, and they get back up and everything's fine, and they all of a sudden they breach that neurosynapsis in their brain, and they go out and do it, and they don't even know what they're doing. I really think this is what's going on. And I'll tell you one other thing. I guarantee you that kid that did the shooting was on SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, aka antidepressants. Every single one of these domestic shooters is. Every one of them. I'm not saying antidepressants are bad. I'm not saying that they might not be necessary in certain cases, but I'm saying they don't fit every, it's not a one size fits all glove. And doctors are handing these things out like candy. Oh, but watch out for the opioid epidemic. You know, the one thing we know that has been around from the beginning of history, we have opioid receptors in our brain. I'm one of the few guys that you'll ever hear defend opioids. I mean, I've just, you know, you've got opium from the beginning. It cures flus, it cures colds, it cures malaria. It's been used forever. I was just in Mexico. You can buy all this stuff over the counter. They don't have rampant drug problems. You can buy all kinds of stuff down there. You can buy antibiotics over the counter. And yet Americans take them per capita on a 100-to-1 basis with Mexico. Why is that? It's not because we regulate and control everything through the FDA. It's because the doctors are giving everybody antibiotic every time they burp. We've got this sexual, whatever, I could go on and on, feminist movements, right? Man-hating corporate, you know, anti-everything, universities, corporations, the government, you know, we've got, you got it. You get my point, eh? Social media, all the sugar, all the junk, all the garbage you go through in our transportation systems, Hollywood's poisonous trash, on and on. You get the point. We're getting short on time. That's my specialty. So unloving, right? How about that? Maybe I'll remember to pick this show up on Wednesday. He says we're going to be unloving. And like I said, love is patient. So he says we're impatient. Love is kind. He must say we're being unkind. Love is not jealous. People must be getting jealous. Love does not brag, and it's not arrogant. Well, guess what? They encourage people to brag and be arrogant now. Stockton, California, all these billionaire techies from Silicon Valley, now they're going to have a universal income experiment where they give everybody in the city $500 a month. And after a year, they're going to see if their self-esteem goes up. Because after all, they said someday, automation is going to take over and man's not going to have to work. And they're just going to have a universal income and blah, blah, blah. Well, of course, what a beautiful way to get everybody to vote Democrat. Left-wing radical socialism, folks, we're on a slippery slope. You got the media, you got everything, okay? So, how's that for a feel-good show? I'll tell you, folks, we've fallen from grace. We've fallen from God. We've fallen from his principles. I really have done a terrible job of talking about finances lately, but what a crazy time. It applies to your financial behavior too. God set up a system, a simple system of tangible assets, hard assets, liquid assets, precious metals-based assets, gold and silver. You can save it, preserve it, you're good. When the bomb comes, when things go off and the EMPs or the Dow crashes or Bitcoin explodes, it won't take your money away. That's why God did it. You don't have to have a third party to endorse the value of your precious metals. God already did it. It's a fixed element. It's a natural law. People are like, oh, someday it might not be worth anything. Well, the Bible disagrees with you from beginning to end and God's construction of heaven. Not to mention the fact that God created natural law. You and I, we desire value and quality. Some of us maybe are cheapskates and a little maybe on the, you know, whatever end of things. But in general, you should desire quality. If you don't, if you just want all junk and you don't ever want anything nice and you're unwilling to buy anyone a nice gift, then pray about it because you need a heart change. But God wants you to appreciate. I love amazing old watches and handcrafted quality. We were looking at a box of the old cameos we have that are hand-carved out of special shells and in filigree gold. And just, it's beautiful. You go to the Library of Congress and look at the hand-carved marble, and I love it. Then the beautiful paintings of Michelangelo, you know, in the Sistine Chapel. And this stuff is how we reflect God. We glorify him. If that doesn't fire you up, I'm sorry. You're missing out on a lot of cool stuff in life. I love quality architecture. I love nice things. I like really cool cars. Anyway, I'm out of time. Folks, give us a call. Get yourself some hard assets. Get diversified. Call us up. Come in. Let us get you set up. It's easy as bringing in a check, cashier check, whatever. 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN, or website coinsplus.com. We're always here. Love to help you. Take care. God bless. We'll be back Wednesday. Bye-bye.